Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's our fourth and final quarter. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we've been talking Penn State, Maryland. Of course, it was the Jahan Dotson show. He was just tremendous. And I want to circle back and talk about that a little bit. We're starting to reach the point now where we're counting down the last couple games for Jahan Dotson in a Penn State uniform. And, of course, that means you got to start thinking about him in historical sense. What is his legacy at Penn State, and how does he compare to, you know, a very nice roster of running backs that came to Penn State prior to him?
By running backs, I assume you mean wide receivers.
I'm sorry.
Because I don't want to compare him to Saquon Barkley. Yeah, I know. But he is elevating himself on this list. I think, you know, for me personally, I need to see the final, four games or the final four opportunities. And by the way, cherish them because he is just a special, special kid and a very, very special player who, you know, really he continues to get every single ounce of talent he has, every single ounce of physical ability, which, you know, you've seen more and more talent and physical ability from him. But, you know, the Chris Godwins and KJ Hamlers, the Deshaun Hamiltons under James Franklin, you know, looking back a little bit further at Allen Robinson and Bobby Engram and Deion Butler, and you've got a bunch of others, OJ McDuffie, Kenny Jackson. You know, there's a surprising number, perhaps, of really, really good Penn State wide receivers. Jahan Dotson is, and I don't think this is recency bias, Jahan Dotson is near the top of that list for me. I don't know if he's all the way at the top. Certainly to compare all these guys, like Bobby Engram, I think over his career, Bobby Engram averaged over 18 yards per catch, really similar in stature to Jahan Dotson, not overly big, not overly fast, but just really smart, athletic, smooth, and just knows the wide receiver position in and out. That's Jahan Dotson. Now, his numbers are strong right now, and there's a chance. I mean, after he goes for 242, which was a school record, I don't know if we've said that on this broadcast yet. 242 on 11 catches against Maryland, a school record. To me, it's like everything's on the table. Now, Bobby Engram left as Penn State's all-time leading receiver in terms of yardage at 3,026 yards. You know, we're looking at just a hair over 500, assuming in 4 weeks, in four games. I don't know. I mean, that could be in play. I'm not sure after all this. But Jahan Dotson, it must be said that his breakout season was a shortened, backwards, COVID-impacted, no fans in the stands, down year in a lot of respects for the Penn State program. So if he had a full year and it wasn't impacted by COVID and he had 12 or 13 games instead of 9, you know, we'd be looking at probably the all-time leader in Penn State receiving in terms of yardage, I'm guessing.
And sometimes I fear that looking at these all-time records to try to create a pecking order for these guys, when it's really an impossible job to do it that way, what I think you can do is say, you know what, he belongs in the same conversation with those guys. When you start talking about Allen Robinson, who, by the way, I think gets underrated sometimes in these lists, Chris Godwin, and, you know, when we're seeing those guys, how good they are in the NFL, which just reinforces how you feel about them. But I watched Jahan Dotson, and the fact that he doesn't seem to be special in that he has that great size. He has much better speed than I think we give him credit for because he just seems to be so smooth in everything he does. But for me, the most outstanding thing, his hands are phenomenal. And he doesn't catch with his body. He catches with his hands. And I don't know if he is, but maybe he's using Stick'Em or something, Dustin. But it just seems like it hits his hands, it just stays. He doesn't drop passes. He makes everything that he should.
And if it's within that catchable radius, it's his. The ball is his. He makes sure that it is. And to the point where you can throw it up high for him. We've seen that in the, you know, back of the end zone type catches that he's made. In this game against Maryland, you know, Clifford threw it a little bit high. I think a little bit behind him, but just such outstanding body control that is an automatic catch. And yes, I think, you know, going back to his time as a high school prospect, I remember exactly what I thought about him from high school film, which is that he plays a lot bigger than his size. And that continues to be the case. But I think the skill, the attribute that's going to define his success in the NFL, which I expect a lot of it, is being able to sell routes and run with precision seemingly without ever slowing down. And I think, you know, like looking back over some, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years in the NFL, Odell Beckham, when he was at his prime, like, I know it sounds like a bad comparison right now, but the early career Odell Beckham before he got hurt was so smooth and sudden and explosive and athletic out of his breaks that not even NFL defensive backs could really hang with him in one-on-one situations. That's kind of Jahan Dotson. I think this game against Maryland showcased that ability probably better than any other game, but for him to sell routes and sell breaks and never lose speed or leverage, I mean, that's a special quality. He makes it look smooth. I think opposing defensive backs underestimate how fast he's moving pretty routinely, and he's just able to exploit all that stuff. And, you know, I think the modern NFL, these guys don't really care if you're 5'11", 185 anymore. That does not matter. There's a lot of outstanding wide receivers at the next level who are 6 feet or shorter, or who are 200 pounds or lighter, including, I think, another good example for Jahan Dotson was Devontae Smith from Alabama. You know, he's a little bit longer than Jahan Dotson, and he's going to end up being more productive, especially, you know, record setter at Alabama his final year. But he was further proof that you don't have to be 6'3", 220 anymore to thrive in today's NFL, because nobody can put their hands on you.
And he just had a big game on Sunday for the Eagles. As an Eagles fan, I appreciate him. I think he'll have be a big-time player. But the one thing that you said this, and you're the first person I've heard talk this way about him, is you use the term catch radius. You typically see that from the guy who's 6'4", 6'5", and that's when you use that expression. But you use it for him, and it's so accurate. It's so true, and it makes him special. Anywhere in the neighborhood, he's going to get his hands on it. And it's going to stick. It's going to stay there. No doubt a special player, Dustin. And as Penn State fans, please, please appreciate what you've got over these last few games. Appreciate it while you have it here. A very special player. And from everything we hear, a really special kid, too. So we appreciate that. Dustin, in the couple minutes we have left, I think it's a good time to take a quick look around the Big Ten and what's going on. Some really crazy things went on this past weekend. Purdue only seems to be a good team when they're playing a highly ranked team. Illinois is a bad team. They're a bad team every week, except every once in a while they'll come up and bite someone. They did it to Penn State a couple weeks ago. They did it to Minnesota this week. And Nebraska is the best team who just always finds a way to lose the game. Does that pretty much sum up the Big Ten?
Boy, I mean, just consistently inconsistent in some of these teams' cases, and it doesn't help the Big Ten when Illinois and Purdue's are spoiling the party for some of these teams that actually have a chance to break that 4-team playoff field. So now they go and they beat Michigan State. You know, they had beaten Iowa, which everybody was rejoicing and celebrating Purdue, you know, in this part of the country when that matchup happened. So, yeah, just pure craziness. And I think you're starting to see, you know, Illinois is a handful because, you know, like when you have a system and you have an identity and you're not afraid of drifting from that identity, you're not trying to do too much. When you've got a running back who all he needs is a crease to turn it into 6 yards, well, that's Chase Brown for Illinois, then you have a chance against some of these Big Ten teams that, yes, are very good, but aren't necessarily piloted by, you know, quarterbacks who are going to kill you. So that's Illinois kind of like they exploit the Big Ten's kryptonite. The weakness of the Big Ten at large is not really sterling quarterback play. Other trends, Nebraska playing teams close, but not close enough. You know, they lose 20, it's 26-17. Ohio State kicked a late field goal in that one to make it even, to stretch the lead a little bit more. But they were very much in this game at home.
And Nebraska missed two, and Nebraska missed a couple very makeable field goals.
Right. So they were very much in that game. And I think all this stuff, even though they end up being losses, are going to help Scott Frost. Like, I think he's going to be back for another year. 28-23 at home the week before to Purdue. They lost 32-29 at home to Michigan. They lost 23-20 in overtime to Michigan State. And they lost 23-16 to number three Oklahoma. So you're talking about a team that is there, and now it's just a matter of Scott Frost selling his bosses that he can, that that they can make up the difference and turn those losses into wins. But Nebraska has not been an easy out for anyone this season. So I know it looks bad. That's a 3-7 team, but they have challenged everybody this year. And I think there's no shame in that for Ohio State. But yeah, I think you saw Minnesota lose. Why and how they were ranked last week, I don't think I'll ever understand that. Why Wisconsin is ranked ahead of Penn State right now, I don't think I understand that one either. They jumped from out of the rankings above number 22 Penn State. I guess I just don't get it. But they've won five games in a row, so maybe that's it.
And the other thing you mentioned about Illinois gaining an identity, and it looks like they're trying to create that same identity that Wisconsin has and Iowa has, where we're not going to depend on the quarterback. And it's just more, that's what the Big Ten West looks like. And by the way, just as an aside, there are four teams in the Big Ten West tied for first place, and each one of them has two conference losses. So it's, I think it's the definition of mediocrity on the West side. With that said, the other part, on a brighter note, there were three different receivers with over 200 yards in receptions. David Bell, Jahan Dotson, and at Ohio State, it was probably the guy that most people considered their third best receiver.
Yeah, Smith and Jigba. I mean, he's a really talented kid, too. The other two, David Bell and Jahan Dotson, as you mentioned, they both deserve freaking as their middle names.
Yes.
Because they are household names, and you come to expect that from them. But, yeah, the Big Ten churning out wide receivers, and there's a bunch of really good ones, and those three on that list, obviously with Olave and Garrett Wilson from Ohio State.
And I don't want to overlook one other player, a receiver from Ohio State, Julian Fleming. Two catches. Look out, Dustin. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.